I would like for us for a moment to visualize and place ourselves in this upper room. Close your eyes if you would like, if it helps. Picture yourself as one of the disciples in this upper room. The doors are locked and we're afraid. This man that we thought was the Messiah has died, and it's been several days, and there's starting to be rumors that maybe he has risen, that maybe it was true, but honestly, we're still pretty scared. We as his disciples, we abandoned him. When he went to the cross, we ran, and we are still afraid that maybe this way will cost us everything. And then all of a sudden, he appears. He is present to us. What are the feelings? What are the emotions that are happening right there? I mean, I can think of a lot of human ones that probably I'm experiencing in that moment. And Jesus immediately, when he is present to his disciples, says, "Peace be with you." He reestablishes the relationship. Okay, if you have your eyes closed, open them, because I don't want people sleeping. But I want us to really feel what that would have been like. Because this is an image for us that as we begin and enter back into our catechesis on the Mass, it actually is the image that we need to sit with today. This reality that Christ comes and he makes himself present to us, and by his mercy, he reestablishes his relationship with us. And then what happens immediately after that? John, in his gospel, says the disciples rejoiced. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord because they recognized that relationship was there. It was reestablished. By his mercy, their failings of the past, they didn't matter anymore. And so what we're focusing on today, the part of the Mass that we're now talking about, is the Gloria. If you remember before spring break, before Holy Week, before Easter, the last part of the Mass that we did catechesis on in the homilies was the penitential rite. That moment where we acknowledge our sins. We identify ourselves as sinners, but then we call upon the mercy of God. The penitential act is about the mercy of God, and ultimately not about our sins. But that Christ, our Savior, redeems us and saves us from those sins. That's the penitential act. The reestablishing of the relationship. The recognizing of who we are in the sight of Christ. And he shares peace with us. He shares his mercy, his love. And that relationship is reestablished. And so like the disciples, what comes next? We rejoice. The Gloria comes after the penitential act as this proclamation of our joy, this recognition of what the reality is in our relationship with Christ, our Redeemer. Because let's face it, both those pieces are important. Us acknowledging our sins and then recognizing that by the cross and by the mercy and the greatest act of love, those sins are washed away. And we are redeemed and salvation is brought to us. And so we glorify and we give praise to that reality. Because if all we did was recite the Gloria without first recognizing the need for salvation, well, then that'd be hypocrisy. If with our tongue we proclaimed, but our hearts failed to do that, our hearts failed to convert, then that would be hypocrisy and it'd be a shame. But on the other side, if all we do is identify ourselves by our sins, but fail to recognize the goodness and the mercy and the love of God, the action of God that he was constantly redeeming us, well, then that would be an awful way to live, marked eternally by our sin. And yet, what we see in the pattern of Mass when we come here every Sunday is that the penitential rite opens us up to the Gloria. It's especially great that we're talking about that this weekend, because during Lent, we didn't sing the Gloria. We didn't move through and allow the completion of that process for a very particular reason during Lent. But now, in Easter, we enter into the Gloria. We allow ourselves to take that next step and to rejoice at the presence of Christ. To rejoice at the relationship that has been reestablished. And so we proclaim and we sing that Gloria. Really, the pattern that is being followed, Conversion opens us to adoration. That's the movement that is happening from the penitential rite opening into the Gloria. What we see in the disciples in that upper room, what we should allow and say yes to, allowing our hearts to follow that pattern. Conversion opens us to adoration. Conversion of our hearts, when we let that happen, it opens us to glorifying and adoring the God who moves us and draws us back into relationship. We should give our hearts permission to follow that pattern. I think it's important for us to take a moment to actually look at the words that we proclaim in the Gloria. Now, because a lot of times when we come to Mass, we sing it maybe and we proclaim it, but do we actually stop and think about what we are proclaiming? This prayer, the Gloria, it's a powerful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer of joyful praise. And when our hearts are struggling to find words, when our hearts are struggling in how to dialogue with our God, well, the Gloria actually is a great foundation, a great place, and a great way to pray. So I don't know if we have the slides to put up so that we can actually look at it. Perfect. So we're going to look through all of it. The first line, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill." This is a direct quote from the angels. The angels proclaimed this statement to the shepherds when? Christmas. At Christmas, the celebration of the incarnation, when God becomes man and for the first time is seen, when humanity is able to see God finally in the person of Jesus Christ, this baby who has come into the world, and the proclamation is glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to people of goodwill. When we allow our hearts to be converted in the penitential act, when we invite the mercy of God to transform us, we too see God. And he becomes real to us when we allow that conversion to happen and we are open to adoration. We proclaim in that first line, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to people of goodwill. People of goodwill, that's a specific statement to us. This recognition that when we ask for the will of God, that we become people of goodwill. When we strive to make our will God's will, who wills the good of others above himself, who is constantly entering into love, desire of the good, the willing of good of others above self. When we do that, we see God. We become people of goodwill. The next lines, there's five verbs that follow. And these verbs, they're beautiful ways to pray, actually. When we look at each of these are beautiful prayers to God. First, we can praise him, amazed by his power and his majesty, not because of anything, but just that, who he is. We can praise him. That's a way of praying, dialoguing to our God, that praise of his power and majesty. We can bless him. That refers to recalling and remembering, recounting the ways that he's been good to us. By recalling his blessings, we bless him by recalling those. The third way, we can adore him. We bow down as creatures before our Creator, recognizing that he is the source of all things in our life. All good things are from the Creator, so we can adore him. We can glorify him. This is an action prayer. This is an invitation for us to reflect on our actions and our deeds as ways that we bring glory to the Father. Or, as we might have recalled in the penitential act, maybe our deeds sometimes don't bring glory to the Father, but we are made to glorify him. And finally, we give him thanks. There's this recognition that if all that comes from him is good gift, then for us to give thanks to God the Father is a beautiful way to pray. Five verbs, five ways for us to pray. If we're struggling in our prayer, go to one of these five. Let this be the start. Praise him, bless him, adore him, glorify him, give him thanks. Five verbs, five ways to pray. And then next, what comes in the Gloria is a whole series of titles, names of God. The first line is God the Father. It's referring to the Father, Lord, God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. The second line is names and referencing to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father. Notice in three of these names, we name Jesus as God, as the Christ, and as the Lamb. These are powerful names. Powerful names to proclaim Christ, that he is divine, that he is the Redeemer, and that he is the sacrifice, our sacrifice on the cross. And so precisely because he is the Lamb of God, precisely because he is that perfect, unblemished Lamb, that sacrifice, he can take away the sins of the world. It's referencing back to the action that took place in the penitential act. And from his seat at the right hand of the Father, he is constantly interceding for us, providing the mercy, the salvation that draws us out of our sinfulness and into relationship again. He's constantly, eternally loving us into that relationship. And then we have three more titles for Jesus. He alone is the Holy One, the Lord, the Most High. These three titles, this is an expression of humility for us to acknowledge that he is the Holy One, the Lord, the Most High. It's an expression of humility because it's us saying, I'm not that. And maybe throughout the week, I'm tempted to live like that, that maybe I'm what it's all about. But in this moment, we take a moment of humility to say, no, Jesus Christ, you are the Holy One. You are the Lord. You are the Most High. None of us are holy enough by ourselves. None of us are perfect by ourselves. It's Christ alone who redeems us. And we take a moment to acknowledge that in the Gloria every time we proclaim it. Christ alone is enough. And lastly, we end our hymn of adoration, our prayer of adoration, with proclamation of the whole Trinity. Christ with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. So again, if you're come to church or if you're looking for a way to pray, turn to the Gloria. This perfect prayer, this prayer of adoration that has been given to us, that has been assembled from the words, from Christ, from the angels, from the church, from the saints. Let us participate and use this prayer, the Gloria. Let's take a moment to meditate on the titles of Christ, to meditate on the titles of the Father. Let's ask that our will would be a good will. Let's sing his praise, bless his name, adore his majesty. Let's recall how we've glorified, or maybe how we haven't glorified God by our deeds. Let us ask for forgiveness for those times we've failed to do so. And let us thank him for his glory, his great deeds. Let's ask him to have mercy on us and to receive our prayer. Every piece of the Gloria is a piece of a prayer. And every piece is something that we can allow to start a dialogue within our hearts, to start our dialogue with our God, especially at the beginning of Mass, but at any time. I think within this week or from here on out, I kind of give you permission, start using the Gloria. Look it up online. Pray with it. Honestly, if you want to steal one of the Mass cards that are over there, you can. Maybe take a picture of it instead. I don't know. Or if you take it, return it. But use the Gloria. Use these words that we proclaim every time we come to Mass to allow your heart to enter more fully into that pattern. Conversion leading to adoration. Conversion of heart opening up to adoration and praise so that we truly can say glory to God in the highest.